Adelaide is quickly becoming a hub for innovative design with interesting buildings popping up all around the city. Gerald Matthews from Matthews Architects joins us to have a chat about the fundamentals of design and about the concept of rack them and stack them. Good morning, Gerald.
Morning.
Now, there's been some hype lately about the rack them and stack them housing. Can you take us through this concept?
Yeah, the idea is density. And density is like a really tough topic in Adelaide, partly because we've had this great long history of suburban development. Adelaide's a suburban town. The city's for business. The suburbs are for living and families and everyone. And what it's given us is this uninterrupted ability to just keep releasing land at the fringes and keep the density low to medium in the suburbs. So when you say to someone, we want more density in Adelaide, firstly, everyone goes, why would you want that? Why would you want to be like, you know, a more populous and concentrated city? And the second thing is it terrifies everyone about the examples they've seen of what that looks like. And the reason that for that is that those examples typically come from cities where they had to start that way. They're not as carefully constructed as Adelaide. Adelaide's one of very few cities in the world that are planned from scratch. So we've got the opportunity to do it better, but it still leaves the question of why would you want to do it? And the reason for that has everything to do with the modern lifestyle of living in a city. So in 30 years' time, if you wanted to be able to drive to the Barossa Valley and back to go to a winery, you need to know that the winery is still there. And you need to know that our rural fringe is still intact and that we haven't kept pushing and pushing and pushing to the point where you reach the limits of the city and you're in Port Wakefield or Port Augusta or you know, it could stretch limitlessly. This is what cities like London are facing. Adelaide's a long way from London, but it's a slippery slope. So it's important now to recognize that Adelaide has reached a point where density in the center of the city is really what we should be aiming for.
Well, certainly there are some other benefits to density. You know, it means that you've got all the economics and infrastructure kind of heads towards one direction and sort of it's like the center of a big wheel. So that seems like a positive as well.
Yeah, the idea that if you've got more people closer together, you can have more businesses and infrastructure that make it work for them. So the idea of if you go home on the weekend and you still need to drive places to get to the places you need to be, then you really haven't achieved the idea of propinquity or density in a useful way. But if you could go home on the weekend and you don't need to get in your car again and you can get to the shops, you can go to a movie, you can get to any number of restaurants, you're community is dense enough that it can support local businesses. So way back in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, lots of little suburbs had these little strip of shops. And then in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they started to decline and vanish, and they became empty shop fronts. Some of them got turned into houses. Like, you might be familiar with this in a neighborhood where you've got a little corner shop that clearly used to be a shop, but now it's a house. And that was a transition away from these little local pockets. And some of the reason for that is if you look back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, there were more people living in every house than there were in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. The city spread out. So with more people in every house, those little corner shops survived. And you know, with the advancement of, you know, transportation, it's a bit easier to drive to a bigger place, get better value. But now we're seeing the shift back towards those corner places, and it really started with things like smashed avocado breakfasts of the corner shop becoming a boutique something, where it didn't need to be on the main street. It's so good, you know, it's an eclectic op shop, it's an interesting antique store, it's a strange place that sells, you know, unusual breakfasts. These repopulated those little enclaves. But it's reintroduced everyone to this idea that wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to drive half an hour to get to a supermarket, or you didn't have to drive, you know, 40 minutes to drop your kids at school, when you didn't have to get in the car to go and buy, you know, a small amount of groceries.
Now back to this idea of density in the CBD and how this will, you know, like this is something that Adelaide's currently struggling with, currently looking at. As you said, in the most places where this happens, it sort of happens by accident or by necessity. What are some of the potholes that we need to be aware of when sort of planning for this?
Well, our journey into apartments in Adelaide really got going on the basis of retirees, of people who were coming off fairly large houses in the suburbs, decided they didn't want the hassle of a garden anymore. They wanted to be closer to things like Rundle Street or, interesting shopping precincts within the city, and they bought an apartment. So we had apartment buildings in the city that were largely populated by retirees, and you design something very different for someone who's retired than you would for a group of students or you would for a young family. The design has to respond to the intended user in the case of an apartment, because you quite often don't know who the actual user will be. The next wave of apartments in Adelaide were really student accommodation. Completely different need, completely different type of user, completely different lifestyle to a retiree. It's the opposite end of the spectrum. And what student accommodation really relies on is someone's not going to spend their whole life here. What they want is something that's not too expensive, that is just enough to get them through their study. Because their lifestyle doesn't depend on their home. Their lifestyle depends on actually having some money to have a lifestyle. So these gave us these two examples of apartment types that are nowhere near ideal for example, professional people or couples or young families. They're just the wrong product. So Adelaide's now looking at apartments to say, well, is that what apartments mean? Does it mean these, crammed together little boxes that are stacked, which is what really student accommodation always ends up being in every city? Adelaide's not an exception here. Or is it these relatively conventionalized apartments for retirees? And the truth is that Adelaide is at the very start of exploring density of living in the CBD. And it's worth noting that we're still a long way behind the density we used to have in the 1930s. At its peak, I think Adelaide CBD had about 80,000 people living in the CBD, and that was way back, I want to say, in the 30s or 40s. And then the trough, the lowest it got down to, was around 20,000, and I believe that was in around the 90s. So the decline was pretty significant. To attract people back into the city, the fundamental difference is the city. It's not the apartment that sells the apartment. The same apartment, whether it's in Adelaide or Melbourne or New York or Milan, you're moving there for the city. But you still have to have the product that actually matches the user type. So there's really two questions that Adelaide needs to, I guess, ask itself is, why would you live in the CBD in Adelaide, when for the same amount of money you could live 15 minutes drive away in the suburbs on a much bigger property? And the reason's got to be the assumption that, well, not everyone wants the same thing. Some people would prefer to have 20 restaurants within 5 minutes walk than they would to have a garden to look after on the weekend. Respecting that diversity is the challenge of design, of anticipating what people may want before they've even contemplated whether they would want to buy one.
Speaking with Gerald Matthews from Matthews Architects about design and density in Adelaide City. Now you mentioned the current sort of state of apartments in the CBD that were first designed for retirees and then for students, and now we're sort of looking at making that attractive potentially to professionals, to young couples. So you describe those two as extremes, retirees and students, as two opposite ends of is a professional somewhere in the middle, or is it a completely different?
No, it's actually a different type again. There's a few, I guess not cautionary, but there's a few guiding principles that almost any architect would advise someone who's looking at an apartment, and it would depend who you are. But let's say you're a professional, you work in the city, you're thinking about the idea of, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have to have a car, I could just walk to work. I'll use a GoGet or an Uber if I need to travel, or I'll use the public transport network. The things that I would say, look first at these qualities when you're judging an apartment. Firstly, its location. Every real estate agent would probably say the same thing. Think about where you want to be in the city. Secondly, its orientation. that's a little bit less obvious. And if you walk into a showroom that's, you know, trying to sell you an apartment, it's quite often, it takes a bit of investigation to figure out, this apartment that I'm considering buying, which way does it face? And what I don't mean is just what's your view. What I mean is, how does the sun move through your apartment? You know, if you're facing south, if your apartment only faces south, you're only going to get glimpses of direct sunlight in the very early morning and very late sunset, and probably only in summer. If you're facing east, you're going to get sunrises. If you're facing west, you're going to get sunsets, and it's, you know, going to be hot in summer. If you're facing north, you get what most architects would tend to want for themselves, which is this balance of light throughout the day. And that brings it to all these other issues, like how do you get that continuity of light throughout the day without cooking in summer? That's not too hard. It's all about shading. The other aspect that's very common in apartments, particularly the affordable end of apartments, is borrowed light. And what we mean by that in terms of design is that your living room has a window and your bedroom has a window into your living room. So your bedroom is borrowing light from your living room rather than having a window of its own. And that's common around the world. A lot of dense living apartments use that strategy because it saves external wall space. You can fit more apartments on a site. So for density, it can sometimes be necessary, but it's not desirable. The ideal preference, you know, everything else being equal and everything else being affordable, is that every habitable room has a window of its own to an outside wall. So those would be the main things I'd suggest people look for, is orientation, location, and does every room have a window?
Now, you were talking before about specifically Adelaide and apartments here. We still have that trend. There are plenty of people who love to go out to sort of suburban areas, and that sprawl will continue because they want the space. And then the idea of living in an apartment or in dense housing is, I don't have a yard, I'm just going to be stuck in this sort of cramped little area, for some people. Do you predict that apartments will continue to sort of grow here, or are we going to sort of have this strange balance, or trying to strike a strange balance between that need for density and the continuing sprawl?
The sprawl one day will have to stop. It's hard to predict when or what will catalyze that. But you can kind of see that sooner or later it will have to stop. The density of the Adelaide suburban network will essentially stop it. Even if we don't draw a hard line in the sand, the idea of the city sprawling so far that it just becomes an endless sort of vanilla patch across the landscape. There are downsides to living in a city like that. And there are examples around the world. If you look at Los Angeles, no one goes to the CBD. The city itself is the sprawl. There is a CBD. It's far off in the distance. You'd only go there if you're in business. It's got nothing to do with the real economic heart of what people perceive as Los Angeles, which is, you know, movie industry, etc., entertainment. So if you're living in the sprawl of Los Angeles, it has really developed these satellites within the sprawl. And Adelaide's already a point where we've got that. So you look at Onkaparinga, you know, it's an interesting place in and of itself. It's not a suburb of Adelaide, really. It's its own town, but the suburbs touch each other and blend into each other. You can imagine if Adelaide just kept sprawling at the rate we are, the hills are a natural geographic obstacle. You know, it's a little bit harder to sprawl effectively through hills, but you can wait till the other side and then sprawl again. The ocean's a hard limit, and unless we're going to live on boats and submarines.
What a world.
You know, the idea kind of sounds appealing, but it's probably not going to happen. So it's really a north-south spread, and eventually just the sheer travel time of Adelaide has now gone from a 20-minute city to a half-an-hour city. You know, you probably noticed that if you're trying to get from anywhere to anywhere in Adelaide now, it's half an hour. Now, a little bit of extra sprawl turns us into a 40-minute city, 50-minute city, 60-minute city with really no advantage other than more of the same. So I'm fairly confident the sprawl will stop itself without legislation having to say, here is the hard limit. But a lot of cities decide that they're actually going to push the advancement of livability by drawing the hard limit early and moving the line occasionally. So London famously did this with a ring road called the M2 that goes around London. And by the time they'd finished building the M2, the city had already expanded out past it, and they'd already started work on the M20, which was another ring road significantly wider than the M2. And by the time they finished the M20, the city had already reached it and passed it. So you've got to have an idea of how fast your city is growing. We're not growing at the same pace, thankfully. But that idea that we're trying to stay livable. So Adelaide has the status of one of the five most livable cities on the planet. It's not an accident. It came about through careful planning, careful governance, dare I say. But to retain it, we can't just be willing to sprawl infinitely.
Well, that's a great place to leave it. Gerald, thank you for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure.
Gerald Matthews there from Matthews Architects, speaking about sprawl and density in our city and how we can avoid turning into a hectic city like London.